Christmas. It's hard to believe. It's already, I don't know. All of a sudden, after, you know, I think Thanksgiving was later this year. And so, like, all of a sudden, it's like Thanksgiving and now, like, Christmas. And my wife's like, so you got your shopping done? I'm like, started? I mean, what? I had bought a few things. So I'm not totally dead in the water. But it's hard to believe. Like I said, I was just doing the calendar for this month. And it's just like, man, this is going to be just boom, boom, boom. And next thing you know, it's going to be next year. And it's hard to believe how fast all this is coming on. So I want to do sort of an Adventist type of thing. I want to lead into this next week's towards Christmas. And it just struck me that so much of the scriptures are talking about Christ's coming. We talk about the idea of Advent, right? That's a word that we often don't use most of the year. And Advent just means coming. So we talk about the Lord's coming, his Advent, his first Advent when he came as a babe, and his second Advent when Christ is going to come for us. And hopefully that'd be soon this morning. Look, if the Lord came back during my sermon, you would probably be happy. You won't have to finish it, right? You don't have to put up with me any longer, and it'd be gone, except you'd miss lunch. But I think there's something better. There's a feast, the Bible says, up in heaven, right? But all this idea of waiting and hoping, and so in here, what I'm going to actually do is, over the next couple of weeks is actually take some of the prophets who God had given word about the Lord's return and about his coming. And so much of this is all planned. You know, oftentimes we think of things are sort of unexpected, right? I know we prayed this morning for Elizabeth. Due 2 weeks! Right? And, you know, of course, the doctors, you know, they don't know. It's guesswork. Right? Babies come when babies come. And I always kind of joke around, if you want to see a man fall into panic mode, you just say it's time. And, you know, the whole idea of boiling water, they don't need boiling water. It's just something to get the guy out of the way. Go boil some water. Okay. You know, it's like, heart. And we pray for a safe delivery and all that. But that anticipation that Christ came at the perfect time. We talk about the sovereignty of God. And this is one of those seasons we look at. We look at all these elements of how God organized and had all these things placed. And the prophets told these things hundreds of years beforehand. God is in control. And there's two verses I want to talk about that reminds us of the blessing we have today. Look at what Matthew 13 says, but blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For surely I say to you that many prophets and righteous men desired to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it. Right? By faith, they were trusting God. Right? They didn't know when Jesus was going to show up. They were given word that it was going to happen, but they didn't know when. And so their call was to be faithful. And so Jesus here tells us that we are blessed because we have the opportunity not to look forward, and we're looking forward to Christ's second coming, but we already know he came. We can look back. Right? I thought it was kind of funny. One of the YouTube videos I look at, the guy all of a sudden now has switched over to talk about instead of AD and BC, now it's before current area, right? So it's B, you know. And which I think is hilarious because it still comes down to before what era? Before Jesus, right? I mean, Jesus changes it all. And they try to get it all fancy and it's like current era or before current era. And it's like, well, what made it this era? Jesus came, right? So we talk about the impact that has on this world. That we have the opportunity, right? We can look back and say it happened. God provided. All these prophecies came true. And so in here, we're told we are blessed being on this side of all these prophecies. Peter picks this up. It says, for the salvation, the prophets have inquired and searched carefully, who prophesied of the grace that would come to you. Searching what over a matter of time? The Spirit of Christ, who was in them, was indicating when he testified beforehand the suffering of Christ and the glories that would follow. Right? They back waited. It's going to come. It's going to come. But man, we are blessed that we are the ones who are at the accumulation of all these prophecies. Right? We can look back at all these promises and say, it happened. And so we are really without excuse in our walk with the Lord. And so the prophet I want to take a look at this morning, I want to actually look at the prophet Isaiah. Probably, you know, you guys know Isaiah, big book of prophecy in here, that he preached repentance to a complacent world. And that's an unpopular message. Israel thought that they were okay, and they weren't. Things were going well. And so they were like, oh, we're fine. But the problem was they were idolatrous. They were worshiping other gods. They were doing other things, what God did not want them to do. And Isaiah was preaching, repent, because judgment is going to come. And they tuned them out. Actually, at this point in history, Israel used to be one country, nation under King David, right? Then you have Solomon. And then after that, the kingdom divided. And you had the northern kingdom, which was Israel. And then you had Judah, which was where Jerusalem was. And Isaiah was mostly in Judah. And in here, they were the capital. And they thought they were all it. And they had some good kings and they had some bad kings. Well, we're going to look at in chapter 7 today, in the book of Isaiah, that Ahaz was a king and he was not a good king. That in here, he was worshiping idols. Sin was running rampant. The morality of Israel had dropped. And Isaiah was preaching, hey guys, do the right thing. Often I think we can look at our nation, right? Isn't that sort of the similar message we are? Right? We're heading the wrong direction. Sin is running rampant. Right? Things that were wrong are now called right. And if you hang on to what's right, you're considered strange. Right? Old-fashioned. And I know some people have a lot of hope. And, you know, I was listening to some people say, oh, well, you know, my side won this election, therefore everything's going to be great and wonderful. It doesn't change the heart. It doesn't change the heart. And so in here, we have this idea of waiting, right? They were waiting for the Messiah to come. Now, we know it's Christmas, Jesus came. But we're also waiting. We're waiting for Christ's return. The same Jesus who came at Christmas is going to come again. The Bible tells us that we are alive and remain. Well, meet the Lord in the air. Then there's some real bad things that's going to happen here on earth. Read the book of Revelation. It can get kind of scary. Right? That those things are still going to happen. But we are waiting. I don't know about you, but I don't wait well. You know, turn around and my wife is already starting to line up a few of the parades that's going to be happening around. Take the family to go see them. And I have to wait. You know, we get our spot, we stand there and wait, and I get kind of itchy. And I'm like, okay, hey, hon, you want some coffee? I'll go get us some coffee. Yeah, you guys, we got the spot, but just standing around and waiting, and I get itchy, and I just get like, argh. Anyone else get that way? Right? You don't stand still well. Let me do something. And so I go, I'm going to go get some coffee. I think it was last year. I think it was the Methodist Church had like a hot chocolate bar. You know, I was like, oh, wow, okay, I'll go get hot chocolate for everyone. Right? Not because I'm wonderful and generous and in this spirit. I just can't stand there. It's like, you know, I have the privilege. I can move around up here. You guys are stuck there. Right? You're like, hurry up, Pastor. So in here, the idea of waiting, and we're going to pull off this idea with Isaiah and what he is talking to King Ahaz. Look at a prophecy that's included in here, but we come with this idea of waiting, and Isaiah brings to a mind of what we do as we wait. God has not called us to sit around the couch twiddling our thumbs, waiting for him. Right? The first thing we're called to do is we need to rely on the Lord. Take a look at Isaiah chapter 7. This would be a big part of what we're going to look at this morning. It says, therefore the Lord spoke to King Ahaz, saying, ask a sign for yourself from the Lord your God. Ask it either in the depths or in the height above. Right? What happens is in this chapter prior that we have Syria is going to come along with Israel going to attack Judah. And God told Isaiah, go tell them, it's okay, God's going to protect them. So Isaiah comes to King Ahaz and tells him this. And he goes, look, verify what I'm saying. Ask for a sign. Ask God to give you any sign to show that this is from God, that God has you. God will deliver you. Now imagine that. If God came out and said, you can ask me anything you want. What would you ask for? Right? And I think sometimes in our lives we say, God, you know, prove yourself, and maybe finances, Lord, maybe meet this need, or maybe it's health, and Lord, okay, Lord, you know, heal and strengthen and remove cancers and, right, heal up legs. Maybe we can point to these things. God, if you're really there, do these things for us. And God doesn't always afford us that opportunity. Sometimes God's just like, trust me, and we wait. But he told King Ahaz, look, ask for anything. The bigger the better. Just to prove I got you. The King Ahaz says, I will not ask, nor will I test the Lord. He says, no, it's okay. I got this. You know what, folks? God doesn't want us to get this. He says, trust me. Rely on me. And I will provide, and I will care, and I will be faithful in all these things. And sometimes we're just so stubborn. Okay, I'll speak for myself. Sometimes I'm stubborn. I know you're not. But I do it myself. My oldest child, that was one of her favorite sayings when she was a little kid. 2 years old, I do it myself. And she couldn't. And how many times I think I come across that way? God says, look, let me work in you. Let me prove myself that I love you, I care for you. And I go, I do it myself. So look what happens here. Starting in verse 10, it says, then he said, hear now, O house of David, is it a small thing for you to weary men? But will you weary my God also? Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son. You shall call his name Emmanuel. Since curds and honey he shall eat, that he may know to refuse the evil and choose the good. For before the child shall know to refuse evil and choose good, the land that you tread on will be forsaken by both her kings. And the Lord will bring the king of Assyria upon you and your people and your father's house. And the days that have not come since the day of Ephraim departed from Judah. What's going to happen here? Right? King Ahaz has said, I got this. Right? I don't need God. You know the enemy coming in? I got it. Don't worry about it. And Isaiah says, no. And he says, you know what? You're not going to ask for a sign, but God is going to give you a sign. God's going to, right? And let me tell you something. God does this. God will bring you to the end of yourself to show that he's God. He'll bring you to a point where you don't got this. And then he tells King Ahaz, he goes, look, there's going to be a sign that says, for unto us a child is born, right? We talk about this. A virgin shall conceive. And we're going to pick that up in just a little bit. Because, boy, this is the time of year we use that verse a lot. But what he says is, no, because of your arrogance, because you think you have that, look, I'm going to send the Assyrians. And what's going to happen is this child's going to be born. It's going to grow. And before he gets to the age of knowing right and wrong, right? So this child, what? 2, 3 years old, when kids know what right from wrong. Before that happens, so within the next couple of years, Assyria is going to come and take over your throne. And then, guess what? You're going to need me. As we wait, God calls us to rely on him. All that we have comes from him. Our breath, our strength, the blessings we have. All these things come from God. And folks, we dare not think, I don't need you. Because you don't got this. And oftentimes what will happen is we're so arrogant that God brings us to a point, sometimes brings us to our knees. Trust God. Let him be faithful. As we wait, rely on him. Second thing we look at, right? As we wait, we need to be patient. I don't like that word. Right? You know, I've shared with you guys, the microwave is too short for me. Oh, come on. Some of you guys do that too, right? Someone gave us a loaf of, is it banana bread? And I like it warm with some butter on it. So this morning, you know, I'm doing there, and I put it in the microwave, and that was like the longest 35 seconds of my life this morning. I was like, I hate it when I preach on stuff like this, and God's like, yeah, you know, you're not preaching to them, you're just preaching to you. So I'm just like standing in front of the microwave, like, come on, let's go. You know? And I pull it out and shove it in my face because I'm impatient. You know how hot banana bread can get? So then I'm like going, ah, you know, that type of thing. It's like, ah, I should have just waited, right? If you read the instructions, you know, microwave it for a minute and then you're supposed to wait. Does anyone actually wait for anything? Right? You know, microwave it for a minute and then let it sit for a minute. Does anyone do that? No, right? So I want the instant nuke. I'm waiting for that to come out. Elon Musk, hear me now. I want the instant nuke. You just push it in. It may glow, but it'll be done. But be patient. Endurance in all of these things. The book of Isaiah again, right? Isaiah pens these words. It says, for those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Waiting on God. Waiting on his timing, trusting in him, relying on him in all these things. And it's interesting what happens. Because, like I said, if you're like me and you're not a very patient person, if you don't stand still well, you're always trying to, you know what happens? You get tired. You get weary from carrying it all, don't you? Look what he says here. If you wait on the Lord, what's he going to do? He's going to renew what? Your strength. Lord, I come to you in prayer and I lay this down at your feet. I don't know how this is going to work out, but Lord, I'm going to trust in you. And probably the hardest thing you ever do is when you get up, leave it there. You say, Lord, you got this. You're responsible. And when we do that, God renews in us a strength. Because the weight becomes pretty hard on us. You know, one thing that I don't think I was ever ready for is becoming a husband and becoming a parent and all of a sudden feeling the weight of everything. You know, as guys, we don't talk about this often. I know I don't. But man, the weight of the responsibility that you have for those around you that love you, that are dependent on you. Right, guys? I mean, that weighs heavy on you. The responsibilities. I remember at our wedding, my father-in-law, I loved my father-in-law. He's with the Lord now. But in many ways, I was closer to him than I was my own father. We have a wedding picture where he's coming down the aisle and he's got a big grin on his face. So afterwards we were talking about this and he was just, and I was like, why are you smiling so big? She goes, she's your responsibility now. And I was like, whoa. I remember being in the hospital and holding, you know, my children, especially the first one, right? I couldn't get my head wrapped around there. They're letting me take this home. Like, right? No one's going to be checking on me. No one's going to do anything, right? I just have, this is yours now. And I'm like, oh. And I was thinking about school and college and, what's going to happen? And all those things, and the weight just falls on. God says, just give it to me. You be faithful. You keep your eyes on me. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. And I love this promise. He will renew your strength. Give it to him. Because you're really honest, a lot of what happens in your life, you don't have that much control on, do you? I know some of you have struggled with health issues. Worrying about it doesn't help. Just give it to the Lord. And the Lord will take care, and he will renew your strength. Oh, I jumped ahead. Sorry. So as we wait, we need to rely on the Lord. We need to be patient. Lastly, as we wait, we need to watch. We need to watch. Because sometimes what happens is when we get into the holding pattern, sometimes we forget why we're holding. Actually, a couple of years ago, I heard a psychologist, he talked about this idea of getting stuck in wait mode or anticipation mode. And he used it as an illustration, and let me know if this rings true with you. Have you ever, the only reason why I watch the local news is because I want to watch the weather, right? And so you sit and you're like, you're waiting for the weather. Have you ever sat there and watched the news and you're waiting for the weather, waiting for the weather, you're waiting for the weather, then all of a sudden the news is over, and you're like, oh, what's the weather? And, my wife's like, well, you missed, they talked about it. And I'm like, I missed it. I'm sitting in the room watching the TV, and I missed it. Right? Please help me. I'm not the only one who's done that. And the psychologist says basically what happens is your brain gets kicked into waiting mode. Right? You're anticipating, and so much so that when it's happening right now, you're missing it, and you're still looking ahead, and you miss it. And I think we locked in a lot of that today. Right? There's so much going on. And we anticipate what's going to happen. And we miss it. And God says, look, right? Christmas is that promise of Christ coming, his first advent. He came. And if he's able to keep that promise, he can keep the promise of him coming again. Are you looking for it? Are you living your life in such a way that the Lord could come back at any time? Or have you just gotten comfortable waiting that you even forget why you're waiting for? Jesus tells a parable. He talks about these servants, and he called the 10 of his servants, delivered them 10 minutes, and said to them, do business until I come. Right? I love the King James actually says, occupy until I come, right? Keep busy! God hasn't called us to kick back and relax and do nothing. The idea of waiting isn't the idea of, sitting back twiddling your thumbs. It has not the idea of sitting and watching Netflix until finally it says, hey, are you still watching? You've been here for like 10 hours. Are you still watching? It's like, yeah. Of wasting our time and our energies. We are called to do something while we wait. That as we watch, we are to work. Paul tells the Colossians, he says, whatever you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord and not the men. Knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. That we are called to do all that we do as unto the Lord. Whether it's jobs, whether it's the home, whether it's family, All these things we are called to serve and be busy until he comes. And being busy is the important things, because it's so easy to be involved in so many things that take all our time and energy, right? We have a lot of things that can take our time. There's no shortage of that. But are we about the Lord's business? Now, real quick, I don't know if you picked up when we went through Isaiah chapter 7. Actually, this verse, it says, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son. And he shall call his name Emmanuel. It's interesting because if you go through the book of Isaiah, we're not sure who this child is. It could be that Isaiah ends up having a child, or his wife has a child, and that child is it, or there's someone else. The scripture isn't clear on that. But there is an immediate response to this, right? This passage was written to King Uzziah, right? King Ahaz. It was given to him. But we see this, and we see this in prophecies, and we're going to see this in the next couple ones as well, that sometimes these prophecies have a double fulfillment. There's an immediate one, then there's one that's coming down the line. And this is one of those cases. We know this because in Matthew, we have a quote of this passage, that it was true to King Ahaz, but it's also true to us. Right? All these things of being reliant, of being patient, of working, all these things that God was telling King Ahaz, he's telling us today. Matthew says, so, all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which is spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and you shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. The ultimate fulfillment is Jesus came. And Jesus wasn't just a babe. But he was what? He was God. And he has come. And we can look back on this. Isaiah goes even further in chapter 9. Says, for unto us a child is born, and a son is given. And the government will be upon his shoulders. And his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. I can hear this Hansel Messiah in my head even as I read that. So it's interesting, this Messiah, this one who's going to come, right? Those things were fulfilled, but Jesus didn't accomplish all these things. There's still more to come. This Jesus who came at Christmas 2,000 years ago is the same Jesus who's going to come again. And there's still scripture to be fulfilled as we wait for him. What a day that will be when Jesus is on the throne. When he sets all the rights, all these wrongs, and sets them right. What a mighty God we serve, that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. That day is going to come. Just as sure as you look back and see Christ coming on that Christmas, we look ahead to the promise of his coming to fulfill all these other promises. Listen, if the prophets trusted looking ahead, how much more so can we trust looking back? Right? As we come into Christmas, you know, we talk about all other things, you know, the gifts and the trees, the lights, you know, the elves on the shelves and all these things, all these activities we get so busy on. Folks, we can never forget the fact that this is when Jesus came. And he fulfilled these promises. And as Christians, that should just encourage us to no end. Because if God kept those promises, he will keep the ones still ahead of us. The God who is still faithful, they provided Christ at his first coming, is faithful to provide Christ at his second. So as Christians, not only should we be exuberant over Christmas and the celebration of all this, but Lord, help us to turn our eyes ahead. Right? Christmas isn't just about the here and now. It's about what's coming. And that's Jesus. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you that we are fulfillment of the desires of the prophets, Lord. Isaiah looked for that day when you would come. And he was faithful in all those things. Lord, help us to be faithful. Lord, by having the opportunity to look back and see how you provided, Lord, how your word was true. Lord, in that, encourage us this season to look ahead of what you have in store for us. As the old song says, this world's not my home. I'm just a passing through. Lord, I pray this Christmas season, encourage us with the hope that's in waiting for you. Lord, we ask this in your name. Amen. Why don't we go ahead and stand and sing.